Jesus had an incredible ability to tell a simple story. A short and simple story that would strike us deep within where we are. A simple and short story that would turn our perspective upside down, that would cause us to see things in new ways, to confound the ways we've been thinking and offer us a new way of seeing life. And this is one of those kinds of stories where he takes and he turns the stories that we have heard upside down. Because we've all heard stories growing up. We've all heard a narrative, a way of living, a way of doing things. Now, each one of us grew up in different places. We grew up in different times, different situations. All sorts of things were different, but there were probably some things that are similar about each one of our stories. If we went to school, we probably experienced school in somewhat the same way. Your teacher gave you homework, quizzes, exams, projects to do, and at the end of the semester, or at the end of the year, you got a grade. And that grade was probably based on how well you did in class. How many of those projects you turned in, how well you did on those projects, how many answers you got correct. Unless, of course, you were the teacher's favorite, in which case you maybe got a little better grade, or you did something special. But most likely, it was all based on how well you did in class. If you have a job, your performance is often based on how well you do, the things you earn, whether you get a promotion, whether you get reassigned, whether you keep your job, is based on what? How well you're doing at those things. If you're on a sports team, whether you're sitting on the bench or out on the court or out on the field, is based on what? How well you do, how well you're performing. And so we learn through life that so much of what we get is based on our earning or what we deserve. McDonald's knows this. What? You deserve a break today, right? And so they know that the reason you deserve that pile of goop they put on your plate there is because you've worked so hard for it. And so we grow up with a narrative, a story that says it's about what we deserve, about what we earn. And then Jesus comes along and tells a story. And he tells a story of a man who owns a vineyard. And he did as many men did, many vineyard owners, many landowners did in those days, was you couldn't afford to have workers all year long. But there were certain times of year where you needed more, when it was harvest time, or maybe when it was planting time. And so you would go into the town square. You would look through the town square and you would see people standing there and they were waiting, anxious for a job. And so he goes down to the town square. He finds some people. He says, hey, here's what I'm going to pay. I'm going to give you a day's wages and I want you to come work in my field. They were excited. They were eager for it. And so they went off to work in the field. And then we're not sure what happened with this landowner, if he miscalculated how much work he needed done, or maybe the fields were richer or more bountiful than he expected. But he goes back again at noon and hires some more workers. And then again at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. 4 times he goes back, and then finally it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It's almost quitting time. And he comes back and he still finds some people standing there, and they're standing around. He says, what are you doing here? Why aren't you out there working? The men standing there, well, nobody's hired us. He says, oh, come on. And so he takes them out. He puts them to work in his field, and then it's pay time, so that they didn't have to wait 2 weeks to get their paycheck. They got paid at the end of the day. They line up to get their pay, and the ones who came in at 5 o'clock, an hour before quitting time, get lined up first, and they get a denarius, a day's wages. So now you're the guy who got hired at 6 in the morning. You're at the back of the line, and you're thinking, wow, he worked an hour and got a denarius. I've been working 12 hours all day long. I bet I'm going to get a whole bunch more. So the line moves forward. You get up to the front. Blink. One denarius in your hand. You think, well, what's going on with this? But Jesus is teaching us something about the nature of God. Because we tend to see things from the perspective of the guy at the back of the line. How come he got more? He doesn't deserve that. He didn't earn that. It's just like when we were in school. We saw somebody get the part in the play. We saw somebody get up and they got to do the presentation. We saw the person who started ahead of us on the sports team. We saw the person at work get the promotion. We think, wait a minute, they didn't earn it. I earned it. I worked hard for it. But Jesus is teaching something to us about God's economy. And he's teaching us two critical lessons about the lavish love of God and God's generosity when it comes to love. And we've been talking the last 4 weeks, now we're in the fifth week, talking about God's generosity. And how God is an incredible generous God, and how we need to understand this and how it shapes the way we are. God created this good world and generosity, and so many of our problems come because we fail to recognize God's generosity. We believe in scarcity rather than abundance. We believe that we have to hoard rather than take. And here God is showing us, not simply in creation, but in his love of the kind of abundance that he has. And he's teaching us two critical things. One is that it's not about our earning that love. And the second is that it's not about the way, it's not about an investment in how that love will be spent. But I want to think about the earning part first. And so it's about how we view ourselves and others. So the story in part is based on this one that the people at the back of the line think, I've earned this, I deserve that. And we often think the same thing about God's love. We think we need to earn God's love. And sometimes we read our Bibles and we start to think, well, I mean, the Bible seems to teach that at times, because we look at the stories of the Bible, we look at the people of God, Israel. And at one point they weren't listening to God very well, so he punished them and sent them off into exile. And that sounds just like the sort of story that we hear growing up, that you get what you deserve. If you don't do well, what happens? You get punished. And if you do well, you get praised. And it's the story we tell ourselves. We begin to believe that story, that it's about earning God's love. And here God is teaching us, Jesus is teaching us, that it's something different. That it's not about what we earn or what we deserve. Because when we read the rest of the story of the Bible, we realize it's much bigger than that. We can pick out the stories. We can go and we can find a chapter here, a chapter there, and say, oh, look, this is what God is like. But what happens when we jump into the middle of a story and we only see a little bit of it? Imagine any story. I mean, the typical story of what, you know, boy meets, typical movie, what, there's always a conflict that goes on, right? Something that breaks apart. So a romance, your typical rom-com, your romance comedy, what, boy meets girl, and then there's what? Something that stands in the way, right? There's some sort of tension, something that keeps them from coming apart. And then at the end, all the barriers come down, everybody's happy, and they live happily ever after. Now, what if the only part of the movie you saw, the only part of the book you read, was the middle part, was the conflict part, was the part where they weren't getting along? And you might think, wow, these two don't like each other at all. There's something not going on. And we do that sometimes with our Bibles. We see one little part of the story. We look at this part. Look, here, God didn't like the people of Israel, so he booted them out and sent them into exile so they could suffer and wallow in their pain and misery for a long, long time until they realized that they were nothing but dust and worms. And then maybe if they just worked hard enough, if they tried all these things, then maybe, just maybe, God would love them. But that's only if we read a little bit of the story. We read the whole story, we see this incredible love that God has again and again and again for his people. You see, because those people that went into exile, why did he choose them? There wasn't anything special about them. There wasn't anything wonderful. He just simply chose them. And then every time they failed, he didn't look at them and say, okay, fine, you're fired. I'm finding a new people of God. I'm done with you. I need somebody else to represent me. But again and again, he demonstrates his love for them. And it's this same thing with this story of Jesus where he's telling this story of saying, here's these people, and we have in our mind that it's about earning God's love. It's about, well, God probably loves me more because I show up at church every Sunday. That guy over there, he comes once in a while. And that person over there, they've never been inside church in all their life. I know, and I can recite 732 verses of the Bible. That guy over there, I don't think he even knows what John 3:16 is. So God must love me more because I worked hard all day long. And this person up here, they haven't earned it yet. And we get in our mind because it's what we're taught again and again and again, is that it's about earning God's love. And Jesus wants to remind us, it's not. That's not the way it works. And so we can think about it in two ways. How we view ourselves and how we view our others. Because sometimes we get in this habit of thinking, well, I haven't been a very good, doing very well today. So sometimes I talk to people and they start to wonder, they're questioning, they're wondering, they're thinking, well, I'm not sure God could really love me because, well, I can't even say, you don't know the things that I've done. You don't know what I've been like. Because they have in mind what? That they have to earn it. And so for recognizing for ourselves that it's not about earning God's love. That we can't earn it. We can't work hard enough. But instead, God is this incredibly generous God that gives and gives and gives. That verse from John, how great is the Father's love that he's lavished on us. God's generosity, God's love just pours out on us. We don't earn it. It's also about how we see others. Do we think that they have to work their way up, that they have to earn their way in order for God to love them? Or maybe, more importantly, do we think they have to earn or they have to work or they have to get a little better, they have to reach a little bit higher in order that we can love them? And Jesus is saying that's not how it works in the economy of the kingdom of God. It's not about working, it's not about earning, but it's about this incredible love that God lavishes. The second way to look at it, the same thing, is to think about it from the vineyard owner's perspective in terms of investment. Now imagine yourself as a business owner, and you have a limited amount of resources. You've got this stack of denarii here that you can afford to pay your workers for the day. You've got 20 denarii, imagine. And you're thinking, okay, I've got 20 denarii, I can hire 20 workers for the day. Now if you had that amount of money to invest, would it be better to hire 20 workers at 5 o'clock in the evening who each work for an hour? Or would it be better to hire 20 people who worked from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m.? Of course it would be better to hire and invest in people who worked all day long. And sometimes in the land of Christianity, in the land of church, we begin to see things from that perspective. We begin to think about who is worthy of investing in. There's an interesting discussion that goes on. And for most of you, this isn't a discussion, but living in the land of being a pastor, I read books, I see articles, and one of the movements over the past 10, 15 years has been this movement to the city. I'm saying the city is the place to go. The city is the place we need to invest because the cities are the beacons of culture. The city, that the culture follows the city. And so if we're going to make a difference in the world for Jesus Christ, we need to go and invest in the city because that's the best use of our resources. And from one perspective, that seems very true. Fruitland Township has, latest census, about 5,600 people in it. A little over 5,000 people in an entire township. City of Chicago, over 11,000 people in one square mile. And so now you're thinking, if I have a limited amount of resources, if I only have so much that I can invest in the kingdom of God, where should I put it? Should I put it here at the front of the line, this guy only works at? Should I put it in this little town with only 5,600 people? Or should I take that money, should I take that investment in the kingdom of God and sink it deep where there's 11,000 people in just a square mile, where there are people who are going to be governors and presidents, where there are going to be people who are working in the Hollywood and writing books, where there are going to be leaders of industry. And if you were thinking from a worldly perspective, if you were thinking from one way of thinking, you would say, of course I'm going to invest it here. I'm going to invest because that's what makes the most difference. But the economy of God, the generous love of God, doesn't work that way. You see, because God looks and he sees a Fruitland Covenant Church where there's 75 or 80 people gathered on a Sunday morning. And he sees a Life Covenant Church in Edmond, Oklahoma, where there are 25,000 people gathered across multiple campuses on a Sunday. And one of us, some of us might be tempted to think, wow, God must value Edmond, Oklahoma and Life Church much more than he values Fruitland Covenant Church. And you'd be wrong. Because God cares about each and every one. He cares about the little and the big. There's not a little, there's not a big in the kingdom of God. There's just the kingdom of God. And each and every one has value. And so we can think about that in terms of churches, but we can also think about that in terms of people. And how we look around, and sometimes we think about, who do I have time to invest in? And love is an interesting commodity. Because most of what we have, we use it up as we do. That's how my checkbook works, best I can tell. Right? I mean, if I write a check and goes out, the balance goes down and down and down and down and down. But love doesn't work that way. Love, it doesn't run out, because it comes from an infinite and a generous God, and the love that I'm giving doesn't run out. So I don't look and say, well, I've only got 300 units of love in my bank today, so I can only afford to give this much. Now, on a realistic level, yes, can we love everyone at the same level? I mean, in some sense, no. But in another sense, yes, we can. We sometimes think, I've only got so much. And so we begin to limit. We begin to look around and say, well, I'm sitting around, I'm looking here, and I said, well, I can love that person, but I'm not sure I can love that person because I just don't. That's only if we think of it as love as this limited thing. If we see love as a scarce thing. Instead, if we see the incredible generous love of God, who loves the person at the beginning of the line as much as the person at the end of the line, who loves the big church as much as the little church, who loves the prostitutes and the sinners and the outcasts as much as the Pharisees, if we see that way, we can realize, I don't have a limited amount of love. I've got an infinite amount of love that I can give to other people. But we tend to hoard it. We begin to look and we can say, I've only got so much love to go around. I'm not sure I can love you today. That's only true if we see the love as coming from ourselves. But if we see the love we have for others as coming from God, as coming from an infinite and generous God, then we have it in abundance. And so do we see the world as one of scarcity? Do we see the world as one of earning? Or do we see the world as one inhabited, as one created, as one owned and governed by a good and generous God and a generous love that flows? Do we know that generous love for ourselves, or do we think we have to earn it? Do we reflect God's generous love? We'll close with one other story that Jesus told. Jesus was sitting around, and he was having dinner with some folks, and some of the religious leaders looked, and they saw Jesus, and they wondered, why are you hanging around with those people? Because Jesus was eating with the prostitutes, with the tax collectors, with the sinners. Jesus was hanging around the people that a lot of religious leaders thought, they're not worth investing in God's love in. They haven't earned, they haven't deserved God's love. Because they still had that mindset. And Jesus told them a story. He said there was a man who had 100 sheep. And one of the sheep wandered off. So, we have one sheep off lost, and we have 99 that are still back in the sheep pen. Now, in economic terms, in practical terms, I've got 99 here and one there. If I go off after that one, I don't know what's going to happen to these 99. And it's a whole lot of effort. It's a whole lot of work, a whole lot of heartache to go walking over the fields and looking in bushes and crawling and trying to find that one lost sheep. Wouldn't it be a whole lot better to just stay here with these 99? But Jesus said, no, God is not like that. God's love is not like that. Instead, what will God go? God will go out and look for that one. It doesn't make sense. It makes no more sense than giving the guy who worked from 5 to 6 the same as the guy who worked from 6 to 6. It makes no more sense than choosing this tiny little group of people from the descendants of Abraham. It makes no more sense than a man dying on a cross. It doesn't make any sense, but it doesn't matter. God's generous love goes and looks and finds that one because God's love is generous, it's lavish, it's reckless, and it chooses to go after that one. And so do we know that love? Do we know that love that we are like that lost sheep? That we have a temptation to look and say, but he's got all these other 99 and he still comes after us. Do we realize how valuable we are that God has come to pursue after us? That this generous, lavish love has been poured on us. And also at the same time, do we see other people with that same generosity and that same love? Do we see others and say, just as God was willing to come after me, just as God was willing to pursue me, he's willing to pursue others, and so I need to be willing to do the same. How great is the Father's love that he has lavished on us. My prayer for you is that this week you know that lavish love of God. That you experience the generous love of God that he pours out. A love that doesn't make sense, but is incredible. And as you receive that incredible, generous love, that it might pour into you and then flow out to others. That you might reflect the good and generous God and his good and generous love.